Welcome to the Gymea Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things, and it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at gymeabaptist.org.au.
Our reading tonight is from 2 Chronicles 15 and verses 1 to 9. The Spirit of God came on Azariah, son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. In those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded the prophet, he took courage. He removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin and from the towns he had captured in the hills of Ephraim. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. Then he assembled all Judah and Benjamin and the people from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon who had settled among them. For large numbers had come over to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with them.
Awesome. Thanks, Derek. I'm going to get Brett to come up. Can we just firstly welcome Brett? How you doing, Brett?
Good.
Good. We on? Make sure he's all switched on. Oh, look, there's lights. He's happy. So, Brett, we're super excited to have you join us all day. And you and Mark spoke about this kind of pulpit swap kind of thing a little while ago. And then you've done it on Father's Day. So what happened there, mate?
So a chunk of time, like, so Mark and I catch up every once in a while. And I'm from Menai Baps over the river. Before that, I was from Ngawi Baps, which is over another river. Before that, I was from the inner west. Not too many rivers, but I've slowly moved into the Shire. And given how close we are, I'd thought it'd be really cool just to show that we're like united, that we're on about the same sort of thing, that we long to see God's kingdom come, his will be done, that we want to see young people come to know Jesus, old people come to know Jesus, people follow Jesus for all of their lives. And an easy way to show that we're on the same page is to show up in each other's church, particularly while the other person's there. Now, Mark decided that he needed to go and hit some
what
people or play hockey or something tonight. And so he's not here tonight, but he was here this morning.
He was.
And articulated the same thing, that we're keen to say, hey, we're on about the same thing. And so we thought a pulpit swap might work. Well, I suggested it and Mark was like, yes, let's do it. And so I'm here this week and he'll be in the pack for us next week. In the evening service,
which we started in
Menai Public School,
in their
school hall. So he'll be there too.
Absolutely. So Menai Baps meets at Innaborough School in the PAC, the Performing Arts Centre, PAC, and then brand new PM service in the school. So launching that.
Very similar to like tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
really cool.
Awesome. We're really stoked to hear that ministry's going well, that the Lord is moving in Menai. Absolutely fantastic. So you mentioned before that you were originally from Ngawi, our friends over there. So in an associate role, I think?
I was,
And then how long have you been at Menai for now?
3.5 years.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Wowzers.
It's,
good stuff.
Yeah, getting old.
Yeah. And was that during lockdowns?
No, so I moved to Ngawi, to Menai. From Ngawi in between. Between the two, right? As in, so we had 2020 was that first lockdown, moved, had that little period where we were open up, and then we went back into lockdown for that 16-week period. That was my first year at Menai. It was great.
Oh, good times. And you've got a family as well. So do you want to share about...
That didn't happen in that period. That's happened over a few years before.
Yeah,
married for a bit over 15 years. wife's name is Victoria, one wife, four kids, one dog. So we have our eldest is Micah, his name's Micah, he's 12, Matilda, who is 10, Eve, who's 6, and Reuben, who's 4, and Ziggy, who's 10 months old, and let's not talk too much about Ziggy.
Oh, we could though. What sort of dog?
No, he's annoying. Oh, no, he's great.
Sort of
he's a miniature Grudel. He's awesome, but he's also a puppy still, which means that he's just.
So the youngest kid's still a puppy though as well. So.
Yeah, Reuben, the two of them together.
Fun times.
We are looking for babysitters too at times, and dog sitters. So I'll be at the back after the service.
That's right. For those. Talk to Hopefield, talk to prayer. There's also everyone needs prayer.
There's sign up sheets at the tall tables.
No, it's great.
Are there tall tables actually out there?
Yeah, there are.
Okay, cool.
You're gonna do that tall tables at your church next Sunday.
Will do,
you're gonna be like, oh, Manai School. We're gonna tall tables. No, it's such a delight to have you, and I've known you for a while now, and so I'm really excited that you're here. You've got a great way of communicating. You've got a heart for Jesus. We just love having just that pulpit swat, being able to share what God is doing. So I'm going to let you open up the word for us. Let's just encourage you one more time, and then I guess you're going to lead us in prayer. So let's encourage Brett. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, guys. It's okay for me to scooch forward a little, isn't it? There's no, like, camera or anything. This morning I wasn't allowed. Is the light okay? I'm not, like, shadowed now? No, okay. Hey, if you have a Bible, can you please open it? If you have a phone, can you open up to 2 Chronicles chapter... We're going to look at 14 and 15 tonight. That's the beginning of Asa. I'll say Asa, just as the way I've been saying it this week, and so I'll struggle not to say it. And I apologise in advance if I say 2 Corinthians. I only did that once this morning. Can I pray before we take a look at God's word together? And then let's hear him speak, shall we? Yeah. Heavenly Father, your word says that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but that your word stands eternal. We thank you for that. And we ask that you might speak to us by your word, that you might fill us with your spirit, that you might lead us to be more and more like your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, I tried this morning. Let's see, slightly different crew tonight. You might be too young to know, but join in when you know the song. I might even trust you. This morning I said if I was at home, I would sing. I'm going to do it. I have climbed highest mountains, I have run through the fields only to be with you. That's me coming over the bridge just to be with you guys. No, only to be with you. Does anybody know what goes next? I won't keep singing. It's getting awkward. I've run, I've crawled, I've scaled these city walls, only to be with you. And do you guys know the next line? But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Who knows the song? Anyone? Hands up. The rest of you go home, Spotify. Go home, Spotify, not now, please. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You too, right? So recently my son, Micah, who's 12, because of Sing 2. Anyone seen Sing 2?
Yeah.
The Sing movies, again, if you've not seen them, check them out. He's discovered U2 and loves it. And so we'll belt that song out together now in the car. And I found it interesting though, because it's quite a deep song, right? Like it's an incredibly deep song where Bono sings crying out, seeking, searching, longing for something. He's seeking, isn't he, in that song? And it's interesting to hear a 12-year-old boy singing it. Searching, longing, hoping. I'm hoping my son does that he's someone that searches and longs and seeks and wants to discover. But what's really interesting about Bono's song compared to what I hope we get to see tonight is that we can be a people who seek but know that we've found. And that's one of the most wonderful things about being a Christian, that not only do we get to be a people who seek and know that we've found, but we then get to continue to seek the Lord for the rest of our days because of how great and glorious he is. And I've loved the fact that I got thrown into 2 Chronicles. I'd never really looked closely at 1 and 2 Chronicles. I'd looked at the Chronicles of Narnia a bit more, but not these ones. And so it's really stretched me to think about where this book fits within God's story and how we so beautifully relate in the sense of we are people who are living in waiting, but also people who are living in such a way where I hope we are continuing to seek the Lord. And so there was sort of three things in particular that I saw from Asa's story that stood out to me that I'd love to share with you tonight. That I think if we ourselves continue to do what it is that he did, even though at the end we see he failed a little bit, and that's next week, that we will continue to be able to seek the Lord in such a beautiful way. That we will seek him in the regular realities of life, the radical or crisis times, and then through the rhythms that we have. And if we do that, we will be strengthened, we will persevere, and we will be able to wait until he returns, which will be so good. And so to begin with, let's take a look how it is that Asa is actually set up as a positive example for us to follow and to look at to see. Because the way that 1 and 2 Chronicles works is it's pointing towards, hey, look at this king and his rule and the way he did things, and the people then, they did it right. Not so good. But how do I know that? Well, have a look at verse 2. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. This is chapter 14, in case you're in your phone and you're at 15 still. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. So he, good, we want to look like him, follow what he's doing. What did he do? Well, in verse 3, we see that he removed all this stuff, the foreign altars, the high places. He smashed the sacred stones. He cut down the Asherah. He got rid of a whole heap of stuff, all this stuff that was dragging Judah away from God as they were worshipping idols and things of the world that were saying, come seek us. He got rid of that stuff. And then, verse 4, he commanded Judah to seek the Lord. To seek the Lord. That's actually said 9 times in these 3 short chapters. Seek, the word for seek, to seek the Lord. So it's like, what's it about? That, to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his laws and his commands. And what I found really interesting in this is that it sets up like this pattern of what it means to seek the Lord. He removed a bunch of stuff that might cause you to seek other things, but then push them towards and encourage them to seek the Lord through his laws, his commands, the way that he has revealed himself to his people. So to seek him is to step away from these things and to move toward God, right? But I also found it really interesting when this happened. If you have a look, when does this happen in verses 5 to 6? See if you can figure it out. Towards the end, it's there in verse 6. So he's removed all this stuff, he built the cities, and at the end of verse 6, we see, since the land was at peace, no one was at war with him during those years, for the Lord gave him rest. It was a time, a season, years, like don't think this is just like a moment, years where like not the other stuff that you've been reading in 1 and 2 Chronicles was happening, where people are just fighting each other. In the regular, the peaceful period, that season is when Asa went about instructing the people to seek the Lord. He sought the Lord in that season, in the regular times. I'm relatively recent to the Shire. Hands up if you've like always lived in the Shire your entire life. Hands up if you weren't from the Shire originally and you come from somewhere else. Hands up if you're saying that means you came from Menai. That doesn't count. That's still the Shire, you lot. Yesterday, it was like my Father's Day because Sunday is Sunday, and I got a little chance to go for a run down Yalla Road. If you've ever been to Bangor, you seen the Bangor Tav? There's a road that then goes down there, Bangor Tav, road down here, run down there, and there's a beautiful view that you can look down at the Georges River as it goes up on, and you see like the city and stuff. It's amazing. And as I went out and the sun was shining and I could just, and this time of year, I can just smell summer's coming, right? And summer in the Shire, mate, does it get any better? Aside from summer in Lithgow, if you've ever been there or lived there, it's not great. But that promise of sort of good times, of the normal that we hope for and long for, that's kind of the season that Judah was in at this time. That's what Asa was speaking to the people, saying, in those times, seek the Lord. Like, go out of your way to ensure that you are building foundations for what it means to understand who he is, to be with him. Because, like, what's the purpose of seeking? What's to find, isn't it? When I moved from the inner west, it's been a journey, the inner west to Ngawi, it was like when we moved to Ngawi, we thought we need to find good cafes and good places to go for coffee, because I became a massive coffee snob when I moved into the inner west. I apologize in advance for that. And then when we moved from Ngawi to Menai, it was just devastating. No, but like there's no good food, there's no good culture stuff there. Like everybody lines up for KFC. That's the best they can offer, it seems. I know I can come to Brick Pit, don't you worry. And I know I can come across the bridge for good coffee here. And Steam Brothers does pretty well. But when you wanted to search for that stuff, what are you wanting to do? To find, to discover, and you go out of your way, you try and find the stuff so you can be with it, do it. The same as when you play, when I play hide and seek with the kids, I want to find them, discover them. When seek.com, the whole purpose of seek.com is to find your next job. You want to discover it, or the employer will find you. And so what does it mean to seek the Lord? Like, it's probably something that, and I reckon stirring in, I see a few younger people, I know there's some older ones in here too, but the majority, I think it's something that's stirring in our younger generations at the moment, a desire to seek, to know, to yearn more. So what does it mean if we talk about that, if we want that? Well, surely that's what it means, to find him, to discover more about him, to be with him. And I reckon it's more simple than what we often make it. Not simplistic, but much more simple. And jump forward to 2 Chronicles 15, because I think it helps us here too, to see how beautiful it is that we have this simple way of approaching the God of the universe to be with him. So in chapter 15, we read it just before, the Spirit of God, so God's Spirit, came on Azariah, son of Oded. So we know now he is a prophet speaking. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin." This is all the tribes. "The Lord is with you when you are with him." Hear that? "If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Did you hear it? How do we seek the Lord? Well, back in chapter 14, it seems pretty clear. We do it through his inspired words as he teaches us. And then his Spirit comes and speaks, and we listen to his Spirit, who then directs us and guides us to understand what it means to be with him. And what's so comforting about the way that the scriptures unpack this, that the story of God's relationship with us is far more him seeking us than us seeking him, isn't it? Like, it is his intention and desire to actually be found. And I reckon sometimes we think he makes it really hard, when he just doesn't make it as hard as we do. It's why he gave you his commands. It's why he spoke to you and to me through his prophets and revealed himself. He revealed who he is. He has shown us what he does. He shows you how he wants you to live, to flourish, to live the best life you possibly can. And then you know what else he did? He showed up. Hebrews 1:1. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors like this through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us," how? "By his Son, Jesus, who showed up." You know what Jesus came and said? "If you seek, you will find." And so can I encourage you, young, old, everyone, in the regular, when things feel okay, seek the Lord. Like, I don't know what, like I said this morning too, but I don't know what season you all are in, but if I was at the evening service, I could probably look around the few faces we have there now and be able to go, yep, they're struggling. I know there's some stuff going on there. These guys are doing great. These guys are just ignorant to the reality of what's going on. But I don't know what season you're in. But if you're in a peace and prosperity time and things are still and chill in summer and you're loving it up in the Shire, great. But please don't neglect this time and opportunity to be able to seek the Lord. It's so easy to forget to. And you know what happens if we forget to seek the Lord in those times? Our foundations aren't built the same way for what comes next. Because you know what comes next? Like the crisis is about to come. And so please seek him in the day. I found it so helpful being forced in a way to ask the question each and every single day, am I seeking the Lord? Am I moving toward him and removing the things that keep me from him? If I actually want to discover him, know him, am I using all the things at my disposal to discover what it means to be with the Lord, which is the goal, is it not? And there is something so beautiful and simple about this, and yet it gets complex. Because life isn't always peaches and cream in the Shire. Like, it's not, is it? Things get, in fact, life is not easy all the time. Yesterday was my Father's Day, I mentioned that, and my wife had found this record that I'd really wanted. So I like to listen to vinyl, again, because I'm lame, but I really like my vinyl. Anybody else? Or is it just me in here this time? Cool. And I had this vinyl, and I'd been given it, significant record to me, and I just listened to one side of it, and I'd turned it over, and I'd set it up ready to listen, and I'd walked out when my four-year-old decided that he wanted to play DJ with my like my brand new vinyl record and scratched it right down the middle, which means that it's just it's destroyed. I didn't react as well as I would have liked to as a father on Father's Day, but hey, we're all learning, and I was able to apologise and we moved on. But it was one of those days where it's like the morning was amazing. I'd cook pancakes. We had this great day. I was a great dad. Everybody's like, "Woo!" He does that. It just flipped, and that can happen in life, right? Where the record can be scratched, and it's just like that. Things just change. That's what happens for Asa. So everything's like beautiful, peaches and cream. They've built the cities, they've got the armies. And look what happens in verse 8. The radical moment the conflict arrives in verse 8. See, he had an army of 300,000. Good, sounds great. But what happens in verse 9? This Cushite dude marches up against him with an army of thousands upon thousands and 300 chariots. And chariots were like the ancient version of tanks. And so they're stuffed. It's 2v1 at best at this point. Asa is in that moment where he is now, he doesn't know, but he does know what to do, doesn't he? Because what does he do in verse 11? Have a look what he does in verse 11. Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, "Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord our God, for we rely on you and in your name we have come against this vast army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against you." And what you then read is that, well, Yahweh shows up. Verse 12, the Lord, Yahweh, Lord, struck down the Cush. It's his battle, and he comes and he rescues and he saves. He wins the battle in this moment. But in that radical moment, in that moment of crisis, Asa expresses the exact same thing that he's been doing in the regular seasons, right? In this moment, he can do that. He can cry, "We rely on you," because he's been doing that all the time already. So when this difficult moment comes, he's not all of a sudden freaking out. He turns to the one that he knows he can rely on. So that when we seek in the regular, we'll far more readily rely on him in those radical, difficult moments. In the battles of life, those times where the reality of sin and opposition actually just shows up and puts you in a position where you know you're like powerless. Please, when that happens, can you keep seeking the Lord? Because I don't know what the battles are that you might face where the odds seem almost double against you. It might be that you're going through right now a period of wrestle with personal sin that's been going on for ages. And you just have the guilt and the shame, and you keep failing and falling into that same thing time and time again. And you know that you're not removing that stuff, but you're being directed by it. Right then, you know what you can still do? Move toward God. Seek him. And if you're doing that every day in the regular, when that moment of temptation, we sung it before, right? When that moment of temptation comes, you can say, "Lord, please deliver me." Or maybe you've got relational unrest or frustration, man. Financial fears or school fears, future fears that are just so, some are in your control and you're just doing stupid stuff, or other stuff isn't in your control and so you're feeling really powerless. Or maybe you've experienced recently a time of loss, or you're going through that right now and you just feel like that's a battle where, "Lord, I don't know how you've allowed this, or you're not showing up for me in this time." Please continue to seek him, because what does he say? "If you seek me, I will be found." It was pretty cool. Just this week, I have the great privilege of being a pastor, right? And so I get to go into situations where all sorts of stuff's happening for people in their lives. And this week, I went and spoke at Warina, which is an aged care facility. And I know many of you are a long way from that, but I think we get what that is like in the sense of we all have this idea that life gets to a point where for some people they're not able to take care of themselves and it's really quite difficult. And I was there visiting to speak, but also there was this couple that's just moved in there, or the wife has just moved in there 1 month ago. And I kind of went in and I expected her to be like depressed. I'll be honest, depressed, because she'd never wanted to leave home, and it just got to a point where Her husband couldn't care for her and she just had to. But you know what I saw when I saw her? Joy. That's not a name, but like she was so filled with joy because she had just in the regular over the last, and it's been a decade of her having to know, not be aware, she didn't know whether she would die any day really for the last decade, and her husband's been caring for her. And it got to this point where she had to do that. But because she's been regularly following and seeking the Lord, she was just so filled with joy. I was almost jealous of the reality of how she was. And then I got to stand at the front and I can, despite before, I can sing, I lead the hymns sometimes at the aged care facility, which is a lot of fun because many of them have dementia. Heaps of them can't really speak all that well. They get their words muddled up and just make a bunch of noise, but it was beautiful because for many of them, that regular rhythm of singing songs, of hearing scripture, of being a part of God's community was just coming back and they were able to articulate and share that. And I actually think that's desired by younger people more and more today. And that's the last thing that I want us to see, that in times of peace and prosperity, we don't want to take them for granted. So yes, we follow in the regular. In times where things are radical, we continue to rely upon our God in those seasons. But also we need to be so sure that we have a group of people that we gather together with consistently in such a way that we remind each other in the regular rhythms of what we do that we are to seek the Lord until he returns. And that's what chapter 15 is, this beautiful climax. I got time, don't I? Yeah? All right. This chapter 15 is beautiful climax because we get to this point. They've won the battle. And it's actually at a season, a moment in like the calendar that God gave his people to remember and remind them of things. It was Pentecost, which has another meaning to us in some ways. But for them, Pentecost was a particular festival they did to celebrate and remember what it is God had done for them. And it's beautiful, this moment of recommitment, of remembrance, of reform, as Azariah speaks to Asa and says to him, you know, there was a season, right? Verse 4, that in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, sought him and he was found by them. In those days, it wasn't great, but now, what are you going to do? And in verse 8, when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded, he took courage. He again removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin and from the towns he had captured in the hills of Ephraim. He repaired the altar. Don't miss this. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. You know what he's doing? He's getting ready to worship. He's getting ready to bring everybody to church, like to worship together, collectively. And so that's what happens, verse 9. They assembled all Judah and Benjamin, everyone. They gathered everyone they possibly could because the Lord was with them and they wanted to celebrate this reality. And so they assembled on the third month of the 15th year of Asa's reign. And verse 11, at that time, they sacrificed to the Lord 700 head of cattle and 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they had brought back. That's a lot, right? That's worshiping their God with all, they're saying, here it is. Let's praise you. Let's praise you as we seek you. Remember what it is that you've done for us, that you sought us, we sought you, and we were, and you were found. They entered into a covenant, verse 12, to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and all their soul. See how holistic this is, this moment? We want to praise you with everything. We want to give you everything. We want to make everything about what it means to be with you and to live for you as they gather together this way. And it reflects very much what happened at Mount Sinai when God's people came up out of Egypt and were given the law and are then like, man, you've been so gracious to us. We want to remember you. We want to follow you always. That's what verse 13 points to, even if it seems a bit wild and crazy. Come talk to me about that after. I want to skip that for now, or you can talk to Mark about that and I'll leave and I'll be at my own church. Verse 14, they took an oath to the Lord with loud acclamation, with shouting and with trumpets and horns. They're rejoicing, right? Like this is huge. All Judah rejoiced about the oath because they had sworn it wholeheartedly. They sought God eagerly and he was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every... Don't we want a church like that? I do. I want to be part of a church and in a community and a part of a group of people spread across multiple churches like that. It's beautiful, isn't it? this moment. It's a moment of remembrance, of commitment, of celebration, of reformation amongst a people attached to a very specific rhythm that the people perform because God said, you do this. Don't fail to meet together and remember. You see where I'm going? See, the regular rhythms of remembrance and reform will continue to shape us and help us to seek our God and to celebrate, rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. As we remember what he has done, how he wants us to live, even if we haven't lived that way, and we come into the comfortable space of church and are reminded how much he loves us. This is the climax of the whole section. It's a massive ceremony. Can we be a people that do the same? Like whether you're at Gomea Baptist Church, Menai Baptist Church, or if you scatter and leave and go to whatever church it is. Remember, 2 weeks ago, I had a shocker of a week personally in that sort of regular rhythms of was I seeking the Lord? I think I almost came to like a Sunday. And as a pastor, when you have a week like that and you feel you got to then get up and preach from God's word and encourage people to do that too, you feel pretty pathetic. And so I was sitting in my office listening. I nearly always listen to music and pray in my office because we don't like have a building like this. And then I drive up to Innaburrah in my car. And it was just amazing what God did for me in that moment. As I was driving up there listening to music, reminding myself of the promises God has for me, going towards church, slowly he was reforming my heart. And then I remember standing in church singing with my people as we sung songs reminding one another of what it means to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek the Lord, to want to live for him, to remember what he's done in the past and what he's going to do for us into the future. And it just soothed my soul. It's beautiful, isn't it? When we get to, and it's not always easy and it's frustrating and sometimes it doesn't feel fun and it's a bit lame, and of course, but it's beautiful if the Lord is being sought within that space. All of us, can we please do that? I hope we are each seeking until the wait is over, until rest on all sides is actually fully achieved for us when we actually see Christ Jesus return. Because we are very much, and this is where I love the fact you're looking at 1 and 2 Chronicles, not the Chronicles of Narnia, because it was written to a people waiting and hoping. I didn't know much about them, and I'm falling in love with them, and because it was written to a people so much like us, right? They'd come back from exile, were in the land, and they're holding on to the promises because God had liberated them again and had given them this chance to have the rest that he'd always promised. And they're waiting for that to happen, and they're seeking him and longing to figure out what that looks like. And we are so similar. Sadly, Asa's story, and I think you'll come back to this in a couple of weeks' time or next week, I don't know. Next week. In chapter 16, don't go good. Like, he, verse 12, he did not seek the Lord. He turned to and relied on other things, and what ends up, his prosperity and peace turns to disease and distress, and it just shows, it's a sign of what happens. And my hope and prayer is that is not the case for us, that we all continue to persevere knowing that we can have a confidence in Christ Jesus. But we too are living in this space where we will have that wrestle. Because as the end goal in sight that we have is to be with the Lord forever, the rest, the eternal rest that he offers to us in eternity that we will have, we are longing for and waiting for that. How do we keep going? Well, we continue to seek the Lord, don't we? To move toward him. We can be confident that we have rest in him, that we have peace in him now, but then we will do so forever as well. The post-exile people were very similar to the post-cross and resurrection people like us. Both of us are waiting. We are waiting for his return. I hope you are. I hope you're longing for him to come. And so what do we do while we wait to enter into the eternal rest? What are we to do until that day that we will be with the Lord forever in perfect peace, in perfect prosperity, at rest fully? We seek the Lord. Be with him and long to be with him all the more. Discover who he is, please. Look at what he has done, what he wants from his people. Move toward him and away from those things that are going to keep you from him. And do this in the regular, do this in the radical, do this in our rhythms. Imagine the joy we will all get to experience knowing that this is happening on this side of the river, on that side of the river, and well beyond everywhere. Can we seek the Lord together? Yeah? We're going to sing. And I think we're going to sing, come up, an incredibly fitting song. And so can I encourage you, I'm going to pray once they get up here. And can I encourage you to use this song as a prayer? And I'm not saying use it as a prayer just to stand there, close your eyes and pray it for yourself. Pray for one another. Like, sing it to one another. It's one of the great joys about being in church, right? That we get to do that, that we get to share that with one another. But if you're in a moment, whether you're in the regular, in the radical, whatever it is, and you do need prayer, I think your elders come and there's an opportunity for you guys to receive prayer. Don't miss that either. Like, that's a great chance. We do that at our church and it's been a wonderful ministry for many people. But why don't we stand? I'll pray and then we'll sing together. Father God, thank you so much that you have sought us out, that you came to seek and save the lost, and that if we seek you, you will be found. Lord, help us to seek you with all our hearts, with all our souls. Help us to seek you for all of our days until that day that Christ Jesus returns. And we long for that day, Lord. And so we do pray, come, Lord Jesus, come and bring your reign of heaven here on earth now. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are The Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life and pray that God blesses you today.